This is the message delivered on November 14th, 2021 by Pastor Hon. The message title is This Child is Okay. The scripture passage is from Book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Today, there was an infant blessing ceremony during the second worship service. 26 children from 2 to 5 years old came out in front of us, and after being called by their names, we all had time to unite in prayer for the blessings of the children. I would be grateful if you could join me. We're going to look at Book of Job, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold the feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the period of feasting had run its course, Job would make an arrangement for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. Since today we are blessing children, I would like to think from the Book of Job that what it means to raise children instead of our regular Ephesian study. Speaking of the Book of Job, the indescribable suffering of Job immediately comes to our mind, and it may be difficult to relate to raising a child. I myself never thought that Job had a very important teaching in raising children. However, I came across the words of Job chapter 1 verses 1 through 5 that I read with a new look. We have been studying Job at the early morning prayer meeting for about a month and a half. And the first words of Job, the Bible passage that I should have read many times before, had a new impression on me, especially the words of verse 5. Job chapter 1, verse 5. When the period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. For the children that Job loved, the actions that he had always did have come to my heart. Job was the most influential person, the most important person, the powerful person, and the millionaire in the society at that time of Job, as shown in verse 3. Job's movements were the ones that moved society. He would have been an object to be adored and a goal for people. In the modern society, where the economy is considered as the most important item, Job was like Tesla's Elon Musk, Amazon's Jeff Bezos, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Google's Thunder Pichai, and in Japan, Tadashi Yanai of Uniqlo, who is ranked the first as the richest man, and Masayoshi Son of SoftBank, who is ranked the second. And in addition, he might have been politically comparable to the leaders of G7. The person who had everything that could be obtained in the world was Jobs. What Jobs, who had all the envy of people, had done for the children was to pray for each of them, to intervene for the sins of each of his children, and to worship the Lord God together with his children. I was particularly impressed by the fact that he woke up early in the morning and slaughtered and offered livestock for the children. He dedicated at least 10 livestock, as he had 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. There may not be many people here who have slaughtered livestock, but it is difficult to slaughter even one livestock, such as sheep or a cow, without using any machine. Moreover, the method of slaughter of livestock required by the Bible must always shed blood. Unlike Mongolian nomads, who do not shed a single drop of blood on the ground to slaughter, rather, the Bible required a bloody slaughter method that shedded plenty of blood. Peel the skin, cut it into parts, take out the internal organs, prepare the firewood, and burn it all. Because this was done for 10 animals, it was a difficult task to exhaust the body and soul. In order to lead the children to faith, he mobilized all of his energy, physical strength, and spiritual strength, and sincerely, he always performed this religious work. Instead of devoting to care how to effectively pass on the huge fortune to children, or what kind of liberal arts education should be given to make the children worthy of taking over the fortune, or what should be done for the children to be able to contribute to live in society as influential people, he always valued the connection of children to God at all costs, crushed his heart, and devoted his time and invested his personal property for that. As a parent, he valued connecting his children to God above all else. Job himself deeply understood how serious it was not to be connected to God in Job's words by saying, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Some of us think children are like angels, being influenced by fairy beliefs, but Job was different. All the children were born sinners who could negate all those good things and abilities. They were sinners whose countdown began towards death as the penalty of sin from the moment that they were born, and they naturally sinned even if left alone, as water flowed from upstream to downstream, and they were dead in sin in which they lived as their fresh and greedy mind wished. It was of utmost importance for Job to contribute to God's salvation by connecting his children to faith in the true God, more than the fact that having all the good things and abilities created in the image of God by nature. It was most important for Job to lead his children to faith, who were born in a mentally, physically, and spiritually immature form. This came very close to my heart through the study in the early morning prayer meetings. It is natural, even for Christians, to consider that it is good to equip children with the things, laws, organizations, values, and worldviews that people have created. It's easy to think like this. Faith is secondary. We are tempted to equip our children with something that is valued in the world, and to think it would make children happy to acquire it. But we already know it. These things never make children happy. There are many words to mourn the present era, but on the other hand, I think I'm living in a very good era. Then in what ways is it a good time? It is a good era in a sense that we are hungry for the truth, hungry for the real thing, and realize that things and events cannot illuminate the depths of the human soul. The modern society in which we live is, in a sense, a world that has gone through all that could happen. We thought that we would be happy if we could get rid of material poverty and become materially wealthy, but that was not the case. We thought that if we could eat delicious food, we could be happier than ever, but that's not the case. We thought it would be great if we could create an environment where everyone could receive higher education as equally as possible, but that is not the case. We thought it would be great if we could be the best in any field, such as study, sports, management, politics, but that is not the case. We thought we would become happy if we could weed out, control, and overcome nature and replace it with a futuristic cyber society filled with human-made things, but that is not the case. We thought it would be great if we could go out of the countryside to the city or create a lot of cities out of the countryside, but that is not the case. We thought it would be great if a medical care was developed, but that is not the case. We thought it would be great if we could cheer up with sake, immerse ourselves in the pleasure of meat and greed, and get stimulation, but that is not the case. We thought it would be great if we could get involved in and pursue art such as music, drama, dance, painting, sculpture, movies, and manga, but that is not the case. We thought it would be great if we could enjoy our favorite hobbies as much as we wanted, but that is not the case. We thought it would be great if we could instill a specific idealism in society and build a new society, but that is not the case. We thought it would be great if we could start a war and win with justice and peace for the people, but that is not the case. We thought it would be great if we could break away from the old customs and religions that clung to us and find out what seemed right to our own eyes, but now is the time when that is not the case. The feeling is covering the society that we have gone through all the things that we can think of, and the entire world is like in a haze. That is the present era. Still, instead of thinking about getting out of that cycle in the haze, we grabbed our own light, picked up the light, and pointed that light at the haze. Although we cannot really see it, thinking as if we could see the way ahead of the light, convincing ourselves, going around and groping for what we already knew was wrong, was nothing. We are not sure, but we are comforted by a small artificial light at hand. We are trying to comfort ourselves. This is the world in the era that is approaching the end of the world. It is said that the number of suicides in Japan has exceeded 30,000 for a long time and has now decreased to about 20,000 per year. But this indescribable pain situation is 4 to 6 times worse compared with the number of people who die in a war in the world conflict. The present is the era that we are tired of walking in the haze. We have lost our way, and we feel the limits in comforting ourselves. However, it is obvious that the world is chaotic like this, but we are living in a good time in a sense that we can feel the chaos with our skins. Because that feeling has great potential to have a thirst for the true light and a desperate feeling for the true light that clears the haze. The church itself says that evangelistic missions are not progressing, but that is not the case. Now is the perfect time. Now is the time when the true light that breaks through the darkness and the value of Jesus Christ, who came as the light for human beings, can be likely highlighted. Of course, Jesus Christ is the light in all ages, but in this last era of a cycle, it is the light that should be more vivid, exposed, and brought to light. Thanks to the father of the most influential person in the world, Job's children were able to live in harmony with their brothers without suffering from poverty, holding feasts in turn as if they had the whole world in their hands. But Job did not think it was satisfactory. He considered the danger seriously of forgetting God, forgetting being a sinner, cursing God, forgetting to praise God, forgetting to pray to God, forgetting to store God's word, forgetting to worship God, forgetting to love God and others, forgetting to understand others' pain so as to forgive them, forgetting to sympathize, forgetting to share, but living only for ourselves, living according to their own desires. He taught his children that no matter how enviable their lives might appear, a life that was not centered around God was a curse. And he prayed for his children. He always prayed so much that he offered 10 livestock for the children while becoming bloody. As a parent of children at the crossroads of the second and third grades in high school, and as a senior pastor of the church that holds the 26 children attending today's infant celebration, and many other children from newborn babies to elementary school students, junior high school students, high school students, university students, and working adults, I was challenged by Job's way of life, values, and beliefs, and I wondered if it's okay as it is now. After this, all of Job's 10 children suddenly died in the hands of God. Job had an indescribable sadness, but since he was doing the best he could do as a parent and an adult for the children to be connected with God, he was able to send them from a living life like a one-time trip on this world to an eternal dwelling in the bosom of God, the far better heavenly hometown of God. Job knew and told his children that our lives were not complete in this visible world. Life in this world was momentary, and there was eternity. And he taught them salvation to enter it. Job knew that what could make his children's eyes shine as they lived in the chaotic world was for them to know and believe that life is not com- life was not complete in this imperfect and unreasonable world, but that there was a life that leads to a world in which love is embodied, which is perfect and very reasonable. Pastor Seno once said, "Children are raised by the entire village, and Megumi Church is also Megumi Village, where everyone joins to raise the children." I think that's exactly what it is. This does not change even if the senior pastor is replaced. Many children of all ages, from infants to elementary school students, junior high and senior high school students, and adolescents, gather in the same place every week, spend the same time with the same purpose, and have a relationship with each other. This is a rare thing, a very valuable asset, and I think this is made possible because of the love of Jesus Christ. One of the major characteristics of the church called the body of Christ is that it has many children. The Israelites living in the wilderness, which was the prototype of our church, also had many children. And there were many passages in the Bible that commanded the parents to teach, educate, and admonish their children. Let us see one of them, the words from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and 20 verses 20 through 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and verses 20 through 25. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord of our God, Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." In the verse 20, "In the future, when your son asks you, 'What is the meaning of the stipulation, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you?' Tell him, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and gives us the land of promise, land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." I forgot what the book title was, but the words of a Christian parent in that book remain impressive in my heart. This Christian said in the book, "Faith is a matter of choice for each person, so I don't convey or teach my children my faith, and they should decide after they've grown up to adults." It is true that a faith cannot be forced, and it is the grace of God. What this Christian is saying sounds right, but the Bible tells us not only to teach our children to love the one and only God and to keep in mind the words of God, but also to make an effort to actually imprint the Word of God in their hearts. It is because there is happiness there. This is because we will be happy forever and will be kept alive. The purpose of establishing Mana IGN, Mana Kindergarten, is not to provide so-called good education and good child care. The purpose is to pass on the faith to children. There's worship, scripture recitation, and the scripture songs to instill and teach the Word of God in the heads, in the hearts of children. Good education and good child care are included there. Worship, scripture recitation, or praise is not for the purpose of good education or good child care, but for the purpose of inheriting faith. Consequently, good education and good child care follows as a matter of course. Although there are direct or indirect differences among the works of Morino Gakuen School, the church school, or Kira Kira Service for the seniors, and the Mustard Seed Service for the handicapped in this church, inheritance of faith is the basis of all their operations. There is a famous book called The Boundaries. Its author, Henry Cloud, says in another book, "A healthy person is a person who can see who God is, loves God, and has the ability to obey God and fulfill his role under God." And God planned to start the process of preparing his abilities through child care. God gave adults the task of nurturing children to remember God and to stand where they should be in front of him. Furthermore, the author also says this: the purpose of children's education is to resemble the character of Jesus. I think this is a great word. Since this purpose is missing, education becomes empty. The purpose of education is not to leave achievements or to live a good life, but to resemble the character of Jesus. Surely, the purpose of education after the Industrial Revolution has become to develop human resources that would be useful to industry. A law was created to prohibit making children work who used to be exploited as a labor force before, but it was to prevent adults losing the job opportunities due to the number of job losses by mechanization in the industry. Although ostensibly it says to protect children, the true purpose was to support the adults. And the system created for children who have lost their places to go was the compulsory education system. However, the purpose of the education was to develop human resources that would be eventually useful for industry. The purpose was to develop human resources who can rationalize, improve efficiency, and eliminate waste. Nurturing their heart to accompany was secondary, and children and people who do not fit the purpose are eliminated. Even today, children who are exploited and sifted under the business of education are losing their hearts. However, the purpose of education, as the Bible says, is to resemble the character of Jesus and restore the character of God. If this is set as the purpose of education, the Bible promises that other good things will come naturally later. Education that has lost the word of the Bible and the word of God can only be left empty at the end. The most important thing for us who are living in a world that has gone through a cycle now is the religious education that Job gave to his children. This education is the best education that can be given to children as parents and adults. Lastly, let me tell you one story about my respected senior pastor. His father was also a pastor, graduated from the most prestigious university, and was successful as a businessman first. But when he was in his mid-40s, God called him to serve him. He closed his business all of a sudden, went to a seminary, and became a pastor. He did great work for God. His elder son did not become a pastor, but he studied well and passed the entrance examination of the same prestigious university where his father went. When my respected senior pastor, the younger son, was in the third year of high school, although he was not as smart as his father or elder brother, he studied very hard under pressure. Unfortunately, he did not pass the exam, and he had to study for another year for the second chance. His father was worried about his younger son, who he thought might be disappointed and depressed. When the father opened the door of his son's room, his son was crying, praying, and praising God. The father, who saw his son, thought, "This child is okay because this child is firmly connected to Jesus." I wish the confession of this father could be ours as well, who could say, "My child is okay because he is connected to God," instead of looking at his son, who was pushed out from the godless education system and worrying, "Is he going to be okay?" Job wanted to tell all 10 children, "This child is okay," and always did this. Let us pray.